The gospel for today comes to us from the Gospel of John. Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorify you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me. They have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, I remember a couple of years ago starting a sermon off that I stood up in front of you all. Some of you may remember, but I stood up in front of you and I said, I got nothing. No, I mean, absolutely nothing. I got nothing. In a sense, that's the way I feel this morning in a lot of ways. I would venture to guess you may feel the same way. How many of you feel like you got nothing? I mean, like things are out of control. Things aren't going the way you had ever planned or dreamt of. That things just are not moving in that way that... Well, that you would think God would have planned or you would have planned. I got nothing. You know, as I get older, and I turned 70 this year, as I get older, I realize that, you know, many of the dreams that I had from even being a little boy just have not really turned out the way I had planned on them turning out. They just didn't turn around in the way that I thought they would. That they didn't come to fruition. That, you know, the things that I had set forth, the things that I had worked at even sometimes, they didn't really come together. I don't know about you, but the older you get, sometimes don't you look at life that way? You look at your whole life and you say, what did I miss? Why did it go this way? You aren't necessarily dissatisfied where you are. It just didn't turn out the way you thought it would. You know, I think that that's what the disciples were saying to Jesus, sort of, when they spoke to him in this reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Now, you got to understand, this Sunday is the Sunday between the Ascension, which was last Thursday, where Jesus ascended into heaven, and actually, the coming Sunday, 10 days from this past Thursday, which will be Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit comes upon them. It's a Sunday where, in a sense, you got nothing. Jesus is not present with them anymore. The Holy Spirit that was promised in their mind to come on Pentecost to the whole church has not arrived yet. And you just got to sit and wait. Sit and wait. God, I suck at sitting and waiting. You know, I mean, I don't like it. I want to get it done. I want to get it taken care of. And yet, this is the Sunday when the apostles, everybody but Judas, has seen Jesus ascend into heaven. You notice the conversation that they have with Jesus as he's about to ascend into heaven? I mean, Jesus leads him out to the Mount of Olives. He goes out to there. He's going to ascend into heaven. And what's the question they ask him? Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel? Is this the time you're going to restore the kingdom of Israel? You see, hey, they had in their mind that when the Messiah came, which they believed it was Jesus, and at this point they really think it was Jesus because it really was Jesus, and also because he died, he resurrected, walked the earth with him. But now they thought, okay, this is the time the Messiah is going to just pull it all together. He's going to get it. Israel's going to be top dog in the world. We're going to knock those dang Romans right out. We're going to get rid of them. We've got this thing where all of a sudden we're going to be just like when it was King David all over again. And that's where their mind was. That's why so many of them actually missed Jesus when he walked the earth those 3 years doing ministry, because they kept on thinking, well, he's going to be a prophet like unto David. He's going to be like unto Moses. He's going to be one of those people that's going to get it. They had their minds so fixed on how it was going to be that they're missing what was and what is. Their minds were so made up on what was going to be like that they missed the essence of really what was going on. You know, I can't help but believe that some of these guys were kind of irritated. What do you mean, Jesus, you're not going to deliver, you know, the life that I had planned on? What do you mean, Jesus, that you're not going to do it the way I want to? You know, I wanted it to turn out. What do you mean, Jesus? And yet, that's the very place where they moved further away from having the ability to embrace really what was, what is, and all that God can give them in that moment. You see, sometimes our plans get in the way of God. And in my case, most of the time, my plans get in the way of God. I like to be in control. I know none of you are like that. But I like to have things go the way. I want them to mold and shape. I want it to be. I want to create the environment around me. And yet, really, the only place that I can change is not the environment around me for any long-term place. But I can, if I open myself to God, by beginning with that statement, I got nothing. God can come in and mold and shape me. You know, when I'm the most dissatisfied with the things that are going on around me. And by the way, right now, I'm not real satisfied. That's the time when I got to move back further into my sense of powerlessness, my sense of I got nothing, and God, I've got to rely on you for everything. And do just the next right thing, not try and sort of focus on this is the way it's going to turn out, but do just simply the next right thing. And then all of a sudden, I believe God starts to work. You know why? Because that's what he promises. That's what he promises. You know, a lot of my dreams, had they come out to fruition, probably would have been real nice for a flash in the pot, but I don't know how long they would have been nice. I probably would have screwed them up in a different way. I mean, I screw up the things I have now pretty easily. But when I come to that place where I say, God, let me just rely on you, there's a peace that passes all understanding that I can't explain, but I know is alive in me. There's a humility that gets me out of my own way so I can listen to what God has to say. And there is a sense of being okay right in the moment that I wish I could hold on to forever. And I believe I'm practicing trying to hold on to it forever. You know, I laughed because I started to think about the promises that God made, and then I started thinking about the promises that I've made. And the promise that I made years and years ago when I was 11 years old was I promised the Boy Scout oath. I promise to do my best, to do my duty to God and my country, to obey the Scout law, to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. You know, right now, with more metal in my body than probably most people have, I'm physically strong. Mentally awake, I kind of fall down on. And morally straight, well, sometimes out there I do it, but up here, I'm scheming. I'm scheming. I would venture to guess I'm not alone in scheming. I would venture to guess that every one of you have your brains go off. And the reason why is because you continually try and get back to where you want to get your plan the way you want it, which, to tell you the truth, might seem really beautiful, but I wonder if it'll give you what God's plan will give you. Because, see, God's plan takes into cooperation all of it, not just the things that we evaluate. And when I work on trying to embrace God's plan, I let go of the preconceived notions that I had for years and years and years that I planned that really are temporal, and I move towards the eternal. As you come to the Eucharist this day, I pray that you move towards the eternal. I pray that you don't look to have things turn around exactly the way it used to be, but that you hold on to the essence of what was supposed to be there and the substance of what was supposed to be there. That you accept the things you cannot change, but you change the things you can simply by saying, I'm sorry, or in the Boy Scouts terms, I'll do my best. Because it's then that you're doing the next right thing. It's then that all of a sudden God heals your mental self. It's there that God begins to lead you to the physical self, to where you are held up and you aren't just trying to make it look good, you actually are good. And it's there that life begins. And it's there that life continuously moves. The Holy Eucharist is available for you this day. I pray that you embrace it, because in it is the presence of Jesus Christ. You know, the funniest part about this day that I always think of is that if you really read the Scriptures, Jesus leads them up onto the Mount of Olives. And he says, stay in the city, don't leave, till the promise of the Holy Spirit comes to you, which is 7 days away. I'm going to leave you, but I'm going to give you something better. I'm going to give you the Comforter. I'm going to give you something. And the craziest part about this whole thing, if you read the Gospel of John, they got the Holy Spirit on the night of the resurrection. The ones that he's talking to, those 11 already had it, because Jesus comes to them in the upper room and breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. They got it and they didn't use it. You have it. Please use it. But it begins by knowing you got nothing. But in Christ, you have everything. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.